Yes, welcome along. It's Thursday, 7 p.m. upload time here for the Racing Postcast with the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. ITV Racing covered every week here on the Racing Postcast. Plenty of action going on this weekend. It's not the best weekend by any means, but we have got Royal Ascot coming up and obviously Epsom next weekend. But ITV have managed to get this card on. We've got Carlisle covering for Haydock, obviously with the issues with the ground there. We've got that coming up. We've also got some two-year-old racing from Beverley, and we've got one race round the Rudy at Chester. I've got a stellar panel joining me ahead of the weekend. We've got Graham Robway and Johnny Pearson from the Racing Post. And as ever, from Unibet, we have Mr. Ed Nicholson. Like I say, we've got nine races to get through, gents. We're going to try and fly through these, and we will start off at that rescheduled race meeting at Carlisle that's been moved there due to those issues with the ground. The 130 at Carlisle is a handicap. This is 1 mile, 3 furlongs here, a class two event. And looking at the racing here, we've got Ian Williams looking to really try and take this out. He's got the likes of Real Dream, Enemy, Dancing in Paris in here. He seems to want to try and win this with one of these. We've got the likes of Rogue Millions, Claymore, Opportunity, Top Team, loads of like top, you know, fairly top level handicappers in here, or fairly reliable handicappers, I'm probably better off saying. But Graham Robway, I will come to you first on this. Who do you like?
Yeah, one of my better bets on the day here, Sam, is Opportunity for Haggis and Doyle. Last time he finished third at Ascot, thought it was a really good race. And, yeah, he really stayed on strongly from the back that day. It was a race running a very strong time, but Opportunity was too far behind, I thought. He was given an awful lot to do by James Doyle, and he finished off best from the rear. A horse that was behind him that day, I think Valedictory, was in sixth. That came out and won next time at Goodwood last Saturday, so the form looked strong, and I think that had Opportunity been a bit closer to the pace, he might even have won that Ascot race, and he's only £1 higher. So yeah, Opportunity, one of my stronger favourites on the day, Sam.
Okay, Opportunity, the Whatnan team, they're starting to fling in those winners, and you'll see them kind of making these purchases, and we'll talk about some of their two-year-olds later on this show. But the Whatnan team for Graham Robway with Opportunity in that first from Carlisle. Ed Nicholson, Johnny hasn't got a selection here, so I'm coming straight to you.
Yeah, difficult race, I think, to kick the ITV coverage off. As you said, there are plenty of handicappers that are kind of going to run well for you, whoever you back. So no real big fancy, but Top Team is a horse that I've been following for some time now. Missed his two-year-old campaign, started off as a three-year-old, run some really good races. He's only really disappointed once. I'd call him a progressive handicapper. Ran badly at Epsom. That was too bad to be true. So he just put a line through that. And then ran well last time, went second, going up the handicap. But as I say, he is a horse that I've liked. He toughs it out. When he won at Kempton first time this season, it was as if any horse came up to him, he wasn't going to let them go by. I mean, it looked as if he was going to lose all the way up the home straight at Kempton, but he kept on fighting. So I'm going to go for Top Team. He is progressive, but it's not a strong selection because it's a really difficult race to start proceedings off on. But Sam, because it's a really difficult race, we've got our two or three offers that we run during this podcast to tell people. We'll do money back second, third in this race, and or you can choose the extra place for the opening race on Saturday, 1:30 Carlisle.
There you go. Plenty of offers to kick things off from Unibet, and there will be more throughout the show. Do head to the Unibet website or onto the app, see the terms and conditions, and get access to all of those offers. Let's move on then, gents, to the 2 o'clock at Carlisle. This is a 6 furlong handicap here, class three event, where Graham Robway and Ed Nicholson's selections from the last rate. The owners have got another one in here, realigned for the Whatnan team, 5,000 to 1 for the King Power team in here. Again, some sort of reliable sprinting handicappers in here for this race, and it's time to head across to Mr. Johnny Pearson for the first time for a selection in the 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we understand that, you know, it's a sprint handicap, it's going to be pretty competitive and it might not be the easiest one to find the winner of. But I've come down on Marty Hopkirk for David Lotnane and Ross Orion. I think you go back to his win in May 2025, or was it Heel Hurt? I can't remember. If you go back to his win in May 2025, you know, get ready to rumble with the head back in second. I know it's going back a while, but that form's working out well. Then he ran well enough at Sandown in the listed Scurry Stakes. And then his second place behind Mooka by neck. He ended up with a rating of 89, and he was running off 87 that day. He's now running off 83. It's come down a bit in handicap. He's had two runs this season. He was by a horse called Red Orange last time. He's got some good form in the book and another horse I like. And I think he has outstanding form claims and should be quite well fancied here, and I'd expect him to go very close.
I'm very pleased you say that. No spoiler alerts for the end of the show, but I'm a big fan of this horse as well. Certainly on a winning mark of 83 in that Red Orange form. We'll probably talk about in just a minute when we get on to our next race. But yeah, Marty Hopkirk for Johnny Pearson and for myself in here. Graham Robway, who did you like?
I thought Station X had a good chance. Sam, he ran over 5 furlongs last time out at Hamilton, and he showed plenty of boot, but he wasn't able to sustain his challenge. He'd previously been quite impressive when winning at Southall over 6, and he's obviously back over 6 furlongs here on a stiffer track than Hamilton, albeit there is a stiff finish at Hamilton too. I think the extra furlong will suit Station X well. We've got Kieran Schumark booked for Brian Smart. Yeah, that's not a jockey booking you see very often. I think they've teamed up 7 times and 1 winner, a couple of seconds and a third. So I think that's significant. Station X is the one for me, Sam.
Okay, Station X for Mr. Robway and Ed Nix. I didn't know whether I saw any nodding going on when Johnny Pearson was talking. Maybe Marty Hopkirk's in the notes or not, but who did you like?
Because of the makeup of the race, rear line. Now, William Haggis, the trainer, is always in good form, but it's worth saying 10 of his last 53 horses have won in the last 2 weeks. I think last week's show, when Haydock was abandoned, I'd mentioned that it was a time of the year that Haggis does normally kick in. And I just got this rear line on a class drop here. He is the top weight in the race. He's been running in class 2s. This is his first run in a class 3 for some time. The last time they did that, he won the class 3 that he ran in. He's all right on good to firm ground, which the going looks like it is going to be. By the way, last week we were going on about it being really soft at Haydock and was going to get softer, but it didn't. It got quicker. So it went off at good to soft. So Division, who won on the colours of Rear Line, beat Venetian Sun. Do you remember we had a big argument about that? Uh-huh. Well, I had an argument with myself, actually. So I think the ground is important. It's going to be good to firm. Rear Line's won on good to firm. He's running it quite a lot. The stable's in form. He's wearing cheap pieces for the first time. I really think that everything points to Rear Line here. He's still in the Wokingham. I think Rear Line wins this before going on to run in the Wokingham at Royal Ascot.
Okay, Rear Line, yeah. William Haggis and James Doyle getting another mention. Obviously, Graham Robway mentioned in the first race, but Ed Nixon with that team in race 2 of the 2 o'clock at Carlisle. Let's move on now to the 2:33. This is the listed Achilles Stakes over 5 furlongs, and this looks a really nice looking race. Red Orange is currently up there with William Buick and Clive Cox. We've got the likes of Starlust. That's going to be an interesting one for the lads to talk about. Again, the Wattnam team, like a Rogue Lightning in here. You've got Azure Angel, Washington Heights, £10, Celadine, some fair horse in here. But Graham Robway, Starlust is obviously the interesting one, a Breeders' Cup winner who went to stud, it didn't quite work out, and now returns back into training here. This is the first run from what I can see. Rafe Beckett and Ross Orion teaming up.
Yeah, hard to know what to expect from Starlust, isn't it? If anyone can get him back, it's probably Ralph Beckett, isn't it? But yeah, long, long time off the track and a little bit to prove, obviously. So I thought Red Orange was the one to be on. Massive eye catcher at York, wasn't he, a couple of starts ago? I mean, Ryan Moore could not have found any more trouble in running if he tried, you know. Great jockey, of course, yeah, but I often think sometimes, you know, because he is so great, he doesn't get the criticism that other jockeys would get if they were in the same position. And, you know, let's be honest, he had a nightmare passage that day on Red Orange. And Ross Orion took over at Windsor next time, and he won well. It was only a couple of days ago, wasn't it, like 12 days ago. So I think Red Orange is right at his peak. There's no one better with sprinters in my book than Clive Cox. Everyone has their own favourite little sprinting trainer, but he's mine. And he's one of my tips last weekend was a Clive Cox sprinter, Song of the Clyde, when that one at Newbury did me a right turn. And I'm hoping that Clive Cox is going to come good again with Red Orange. William Buick's taking the ride this time, Sam, so not messing about.
It's three different jockeys, but three top class jockeys riding this horse the last three times. And you're completely right. I mean, Ryan Moore, if he does watch the show, I'm sure he doesn't. But if Ryan Moore were to watch the show, he won't mind me saying he won't probably give a horse a worse ride all year. It was a bit of a shocker, to be totally honest. But yeah, the horse was a massive eye catcher. One World Windsor. I think you're right, Rodders. I think that's the way to go here. Johnny Pearson for you.
Yeah, with Mary Hopkirk, I mentioned. And finishing behind Red Orange, and it is Red Orange that I like here. As Rodders said, couldn't have met more trouble at York than he did. Clive Cox, brilliant trainer of sprinters. He's got everything in his favour. He won quite comfortably last time. I've seen the most likely winner. You've got Washington Heights, but he's been disappointing the last few runs. Then you've got the likes of Salandine, but you know she's been disappointing for the last few runs. Starlust hasn't been seen since last summer, didn't work out stud. Okay, one at the Breeders' Cup as a two-year-old, but that form's not looking all too clever now, actually, in hindsight. So I'd be, and first run back for that long, wouldn't be keen on. I think Red Orange has got by far the most in its favour, especially on recent form.
Yeah, it's hard to know what to expect from Starlust, it really is. But there's two selections there for Red Orange. So I come to Ed Nicholson here to try and not spoil the party and give us his selection, which is hopefully similar.
It's not going to be Red Orange, I'm afraid. No green light for the Red Orange. This is called the Achilles Stakes, and I've got a bit of an Achilles heel. I always like backing horses that are class droppers. Doesn't always prove successful, but you've got to be on Starlust if that's the case. I mean, Group 1, five times of the last seven runs. And apart from that, the other two were Group 2s. This is a listed race, if I'm not mistaken, and... you know, because of that, he's got the class edge on all of them. Now, the problem is, as I was saying, it is an Achilles heel for me because this horse hasn't run for 347 days and we've been speaking about, you know, why he might not be at his best following that time off. But he is a better horse than all of these. I just think that, you know, Ross Orion and Rafe Beckett, who obviously know the horse extremely well, having won the Breeders' Cup Turf on fast ground, and let's forget this is going to be fast ground as well at Carlisle. They've got to have dropped him in class to get his confidence back, to get him rolling with a Royal Ascot aim. That's got to be the aim, isn't it? You don't keep, you know, you've got to be running this horse at Royal Ascot. So even if he wasn't fit, even if he wasn't at the top of his game, I still think he'd just about win. Form figures suggest that might not be the case. I think he's £3 behind Red Orange on official ratings, but... you know, that £3 might make a difference at the end of the day. He carries the same weight, 9-7. Just got to be on Starlust. But I would be tempering my enthusiasm, Sam, if he does drift. If he drifts on the day, then that would be my, you know, well, be careful, because obviously people know that he's not as up to the level that he should be to win the race. But as long as he's there or thereabouts and he doesn't drift too much, it's got to be Starlust for me.
Yeah, certainly the horse this weekend, where you'll know by the market moves whether this horse is going to run well or not. So yeah, it's two selections for Red Orange. I'll add myself in there for that hat trick then, because I'll be with Red Orange as well. But Ed will be with Starlust, taking a chance on potentially the class angle in the race. Now the 3.10 at Carlisle is the 1 mile free Leicester Piggott Filly Stakes Group 3 contest here, where we see the return of Estrange this season, who is the star act probably running this weekend. David O'Mara, Danny Tudd hoping the Cheveley Park Silks in action here. Crep Suzette's also running in this race. That was going to be Robbie Wilder's Nap last week in the Bronte Cup Filly Stakes. Instead, Danielle went for it for the Gosden team and went and won that. But it seems, look, Estrange again here is the class angle. She got form last year behind Kalpana, finishing second to her in the Fees and Mares, second behind Minnie Hawk, beaten Danielle a couple of years ago, who obviously went on and won last weekend in fairly impressive style. Johnny Pearson, is this a strangest to lose?
See, this is tricky. I mean, she's got the best form in the book, but she's a five-year-old. She doesn't have that much racing. Last season, obviously, she was very good, and she only lost to Minnie Hawk and Kalpana, which you can't really knock any dents in that form. But Owen Burrow's got two in here. His horse is running well. Callum Rodriguez, but he's been riding the last few runs. And she's been running well. But I think Azania is the one I'd rather be with. The question is whether the ground's going to be too quick. But she won on good firm at Newmarket last summer, so I wouldn't be too concerned. But then she's gone and won listed race on heavy ground. So there are still doubts over that. But she's had her reappearance. She ran okay in behind Sunday Sonclue last time. She'd come on for it. I think she'll be a bigger price than Estrange. For all she will have to improve to beat her, I'd rather be with a filly I think's got more improvement in her than Estrange.
As an eye then, yeah, the Iron Burrows team, they've got two interests. I'm a big fan of Bordeaux, who won at Goodwood last season. I really fancy that horse this time. I'm going to wait for that horse, I think. I think we'll wait for maybe some soft in the going with regards to Wardour. But yeah, Estrange Rodders, for yourself, you with or against?
I'm against her, Sam. I think it's a prep run for something else, for a start. I think she wants soft ground to be her very best. And I'm not sure how good she is anyway. I've been quite critical of Mini Hawk in the past. He's a good horse, Mini Hawk, but I think we saw on Sunday, you know, she's not a great one yet. Estrange ran well behind Calpana, another horse that, you know, I've had a lot of doubts over in my time. And I'm not sure that... the form's as strong as it looks, put it that way. And I've seen John Gosden do this a few times in the past, pitching very lowly rated fillies into these sorts of races. And you think, why is he doing that? He could win a handicap. So I'm very interested in Naga, who's rated just 86. And I was sort of pinned for a potential Royal Ascot handicap. Last time when she was a massive eye catcher at Ascot last time, she should have won. I mean, she was last turning into the straight and made up an insane amount of ground to only be beaten a couple of lengths by Venetia. She had previously won three on the trot, so she's massively improving filly. Gosden's won this race a couple of times. He won it with Queen of the Pride, I think, maybe last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. And he also won it with Journey, who was similar sort of horse to Naga in the same colours. And suddenly took off Journey, having been a bit of an old rogue, suddenly took off and went on this, you know, amazing run where she's turned into a top-class filly. And I'm hoping that Naga can do the same.
Okay, Naga to follow the same journey. Yeah, it's strange. You were very against Mini Hawk last year. You did say she had no chance in the arc and never in doubt, was it, Rodders? Never in doubt. Ed Nicholson, again, I can ask you the same question. Is whether, you know, the guys that said Estrange might need softer ground. Are you in agreement with that?
I am, yeah, I am. I just looked at the quotes in the Racing Post website and it's quite, I think, interesting that the trainer says after... she ran at York on good to firm ground. He said, I'm delighted with my filly on ground that I think isn't her optimum. We rolled the dice on the ground that I said we would not run on. That was good to firm. Now, since then, she has run again on good to firm at Ascot, I think, when she was that second. But it's obviously not ground that she likes. She does run well fresh. She's got a very good record fresh. But as the guys have said, it will be about later on in the season with the Group 1s. So once again, I've been saying this lately. I've got it wrong a few times, got it right a few times. You know, this isn't the Gold Cup. You know, their Gold Cup. It's not that she should be running in a Gold Cup, but you get the idea that I'm saying. So I'm going to take her on with a filly here, who I think has been kept in training to improve her paddock value. And I think she needs to do that by winning a group race because she's already won two listed races. And I think this is the race where she gets that tag that she can put in the book of being out of a group winning, well-bred mare when she does go and have foals. Because I think Azania has got this race in the bag. I think this is the race. I really do. I think this is the group race. She might go on and try and get that group one, group two victory in the future as well. But this is that line that they can go to in the sales rings when she does have foals. She has run well. She's won those listed races. Kieran Schumacher's back on her. He's won those two races on her. I think he gets a tune out of this horse. She has run disappointingly as well. The ground is slightly concerning. She has one on heavy, but she has one on good to firm. And as I say, the stable couldn't be in better form. Owen Burrows has got an unbelievable strike rate at the moment, whereas David Amir has got a very poor strike rate. If you look at the RTFs, that kind of backs that up as well. I think David Amir has only had three winners in his last 63 runners. whereas Owen Burrows has had plenty of winners over the last 2 weeks or so. I think he's had four winners from 14 runners. So I just thought this was a day for Azanyaya. We are going Super Boost, but it would be remiss of me, Sam, not to mention the title of this race, the Leicester Piggott Filly Stakes, formerly known as the Pinnacle Stakes, because if you are viewing this on Friday, it's 4 years to the day that Leicester Piggott died, 29th of May, 2022. Aged 86, the legend of racing, what was it, nine derbies, wasn't it? And 11 jockeys championships. So this is great that they're sponsoring this race on the you know, the date that he died 4 years ago. I wonder if any of these horses will go on and win as good of races as Leicester Piggott won in the 4,493 winners he had during his career. But I think Azanyaya could possibly be a group two, maybe group one, but I think she's definitely a group three.
Okay, very interesting there. As and I, Johnny Pearson also with the horse as well. So two selections there. Graham Robway taking Estranger on as well with Naga. It's probably the engagement point this weekend. Let us know down in the comments. Are you taking on Estranger or are you with her? Let us know down below. Do engage. But these guys don't think it's Estranger's day. Let's go on to the final race we're looking at from Carlisle. It's very weird saying that on ITV for flat racing, but there you go. This here is the Silver Bowl handicap over a mile. It's a three-year-old handicap. And looking at the current field that we've got in here, we've got some really interesting three-year-olds. Godolphin, John Fady Gosden, William Burke, Archer Royale in here, who could certainly improve. George Bowie's got a horse in here called Lake Como, who again hasn't shown much so far, but could be well handicapped. You've got Princeling for the William Haggis team in here currently. You've got Kevin Ryan and Jack Nichols with a horse in here, Inish Beg. There's a few horses that do catch the eye in here. Whether we've got, you know, a proper group horse and a handicap in the Silver Bowl, probably suggest not, because it doesn't have the greatest roll of honour looking at the past winners. But I'll come to you first, Graham Robway. Who would be the selection in the Silver Bowl?
I like Daydreamer. I can't get the Beatles song out of my head, yeah? I'm a daydreamer. Yeah, I'm all over Daydreamer. Yep. I thought he was the big guy catcher last time when he was second behind Startled, who, of course, flew home down the outside at York to come and win from nowhere. But Daydreamer was also a very strong finisher that day. Came through looking like he was going to win before Startled appeared out of the clouds. Startled came out and ran well at Goodwood on Saturday or Friday, one of those 2 days. And I think stepping up to a mile over the stiff finish at Carlisle, Daydreamer will run well. Or is it Day Tripper? It's a Day Tripper, wasn't it?
Oh, God. No, right. We'll move on, Rodders. We're moving on. Your audition for X Factors and carry on for another year. Johnny Pearson, your selection, the big handicap for us.
Yeah, it's not as strong as the selections. It's a competitive race. There's lots who've only had a few runs. We don't know a huge amount about. But Princeling ran pretty well on his last start last year at Newmarket. Not beaten too far by an horse called Yazin, and that looks like pretty good form to me. He won well at Weatherby on reappearance, but was very much expected to do so at 4-1 on, but saw everything he wanted to see that day. Wasn't the quickest pace. Still won with a fair bit of authority, and I'd expect to improve significantly and come on for that. William Haggis got his horse running well. A small play in Princeling's what I'll be doing here.
Yeah, if you have to think of who the group horse in this handicap is, it probably is Princeling, if there is to be one. It just depends how impressive this horse is. How did you look at this one, Mr. Nicholson?
Well, first of all, Rodders, from me to you, it was Day Tripper.
No.
So I'm thinking this race will go the same way as I thought the Bowl would have gone last week, Laureate Crown. I think I'm right in saying that it was a race before that they had all the problems at Haydock, so they were looking at the ground, I think, because I was looking at the market. And Laureate Crown came in for support on the day of the race, just before that race. So I think I'm right. I think that was the next race. And I was getting quite excited because Laureate Crown was being well backed, almost, I think, second favourite. But he's got everything here to run a good race in this particular contest as well. Machine Murphy was very confident on him at Sandown in the Isha Cup, it was, when coming from last to first. And put up £5 for that victory. I've got down in my notes about this horse that he needs a fast run race. He'll certainly get that here with the number of runners. And also the uphill finish at Carlisle probably suit him even more than Haydock, because they'll be coming back to him. You know, a bit like they did at Sandown up the hill. So, yeah, I think Laureate Crown's got a decent chance here. I can't oppose him. James Dawes on board for Hugo Palmer, who's got some really good chances at the weekend. Hugo Palmer, his horses are in cracking form, at a double Hamilton only yesterday on Wednesday. So that would be my selection to win the last race at Carlisle on ITV.
Yeah, Laureate Crown then for Ed Nicholson. So that's the five races from Carlisle. And I think after that dreadful singing, I think we should probably take a break. We'll have Beverly and Chester shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions. Percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not. Overnight market moves. Eye catchers from our analysts, who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Johnny Pearson and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the ITV action this weekend. And now we head to Beverley for three races. And we start off with the 145, which is, somehow this is on ITV, I'm not sure how, but this is a class 4 handicap, 0-85 for the older horses. And speaking off air, we're just saying this is a real tough race to even have a selection in. So we've just decided that the one man that's going to give us a selection for this race is going to be Graham Robway. So Graham Robway, spin us through the 145 class 4 handicap on ITV this weekend.
Yeah, unfortunately I can't sing you this one, Sam, but Mafting is the one for me. I tipped Mafting, actually, and backed Mafting at York last time when he ran in one of the races at the Dancy meeting. It was the last race on the card. It's one of my better bets on the day. And he just never got into it. Yeah, he got caught at the back and was never in it. But actually wasn't a bad run, you know, 17 runners in it. He beat almost half the field, despite really having no chance from off the pace. He's better judged on his previous form, which I obviously liked at Doncaster when he finished second there behind Six Pack, a race running a good time for the grade. And he was a hot favourite to beat Six Pack. And it was a similar sort of run, really, as the York one. He was sort of always on the back foot and just could never quite get back to the winner. I think that if Mafting can be little bit closer to the pace, he's going to finish off his race really well. And a race is going to fall his way sooner rather than later, because he keeps running on late when things are done. And I think this might be his race. You know, Beverley's a nice, stiff track, stiff finish. And if they go a good pace over a mile and a quarter this time, he might have a better chance of cutting down the leaders late.
Yeah, Mafting then for Graham Robway. The first four in the betting are all close to around 3-1. Just shows how tough that one there is, despite being a small field. But let's get into some of the two-year-olds, gents, which we can certainly have a little bit of a discussion about. The 2:15 at Beverley is the 5-furlong Hillary Needler Trophy. This is the Phillies Condition Stakes Class 2 event, obviously, for these two-year-olds. And currently looking at the betting, Cosmic Mystery for that White Man team, 15-8 favourite at this moment in time. Cody Bear Lights, 100-30. Then a bit of a jump, Crystal Queens, 13-2. Roots in Touche, 15-2, Moonlight Tango and Roll the Dice Baby, 11-1, 12-1, and bigger about the rest of the field here. Johnny Pearson, know you like plenty about these two-year-olds. The interesting one is obviously going to be Cosmic Mystery. We know what Watnan are like with these two-year-olds, especially ahead of Royal Ascot. They come out, they bolt up, and they get well-backed for these two-year-old races at Ascot. We don't know much about this horse, obviously, but we have form on the other ones. What do we make of this?
Well, it's a race that personally I would not be having a bet in. Well, I see Wathan have paid over 200 grand for one from the breeze up. The chances are I don't need to be getting stuck in. It's going to be a short price. So naturally, have I seen much from the others? I mean, Cody Bear Light ran well, but it's not, I wouldn't be desperate to back her. What might be worth keeping an eye on though is Moonlight Tango. So maybe in profit finished second behind her, and she's running at Carlisle on Friday, so it might be worth seeing how that race pans out with maybe in profit, and then that may give a bit more of an informative guide to Moonlight Tango and she's currently a bit of a price, so I'll be keeping an eye on that, and then I might make a decision after that if maybe Profit goes in the summer and runs an incredible race.
There you go. Yeah, certainly. Well, there's a good bit of information there, potentially, if you are to have a bet in this race, do have a watch of that race that Johnny's just mentioned there. Ed, I'm just going to come to you because I know you're quite keen on one in this, but I mean, this favourite in here currently, daughter of Havana Gray, loads of speed in the pedigree with this horse here. This horse could just end up being too good and draw clear of this lot, and the betting might suggest that, especially moving into the weekend. But you are going to be taking her on.
Yeah, I mean, Westland two-year-olds that are running 2 or 3 weeks before Royal Ascot have always got to be looked at, but yeah, the market's found them now, and they probably are too short. Incidentally, there was a very, very nice Westland first-time-out horse at Bath this week or last week, called Flight Signal, who put up a really good time. So that one would be my Wathnan horse to follow at Royal Ascot, running in Norfolk now 8-1, was 16 straight after that race. But I'm going to oppose Cosmic Mystery. We've got no idea. We know that she's going to be fast. But Cody Bear Light has got a really good, really good speed figures. I think I was looking at all the two-year-old races that are run this year in Ireland and England. There's been 134 races, over 1,000 horses have run in them. This horse, Cody Bear Light, put up the 20th fastest last time when she won, according to my speed figures. So obviously she's well above average, and I think she's got a really good chance here. We've got no idea what Cosmic Mystery is going to do. That is taken. She might end up being that Royal Ascot filly that goes on and proves to be a group horse later on in the season. But I just like the way that Cody Bear Light, not only the win, but the second as well, was a pretty fast time. And I had a look at the race that she won at Thirsk. She did it very easy from the front, still learning. That race, we've only seen one horse come out of that race, and she won yesterday at Beverly, I think it was. So not much to go on with the future form of the race, but at least the horse that finished seventh or eighth has come out and won. I just thought you could take a chance with Cody Bear Light. Drawn stall 10, which isn't ideal for the sprint distances at Beverly, but it's more of a hindrance. It was a handicap rather than a conditions race where she just might be a class apart. So, yeah, I'm going to go for Cody Bear Light. It's from the right stable. They'll produce her on the day. She's very big filly. I think she's going to get better over the summer, and has got those important speed figures to her name. So that's the one for me, Sam. Oh, by the way, sorry, I should say we're going industry best price on this race as well.
Industry best price in this race here. And yeah, Carl Burke had some weekend last weekend, didn't he, on the ITV cards, really did. But Cody Bear Light, yeah, looking at the betting, sets the standard here. Cosmic Mystery, we just don't know how good she could be. Robway, was there much to add on this from you, or are you kind of in agreement with potentially what Ed said there?
Yeah, Cody Bear Light wins. Move on.
Wow. There you go. That's how you do it. Keep it real short and simple. Ed's made the case and G. Rod just agrees with it. Boom, like that. Right, let's move on to the 2:48 at Beverly. This is the two-year-old trophy. 5 furlongs here for this race for the two-year-olds. And looking at this market currently, it looks like Matteo is going to be topping the betting for Kevin Ryan and Kevin Stott. We were talking about sprint trainers, and Kevin Ryan certainly one of these who does train some decent two-year-olds as well. This is a little bit tougher than that last race, I'd say. But Graham Robway hasn't got a selection, so I'm going to move straight to Johnny Pearson here.
I think I'm probably going slightly mad. Matteo has got the best piece of form in my book. For the Clash of Hearts, has got decent form, but only finished second. Big Cigars are winning. Arif Agolt won last time. Wait, Geordie's a winner. Ronson's a winner. There's lots of winners in here, and they've only run once or twice, most of them, which makes it particularly tricky. But Matteo is going to be a short enough price favourite, and there's a lot of others with plenty going for them. And although Wait Geordie didn't win last time out, he didn't run badly at Chester. Things didn't go right at Chester. I can forgive that. This is going to be a more conventional course, more to his liking. He's got possibly a negative draw intent is the only thing I would say. But if he can negate that and get across early enough, I think he'll run well. And Ronson's another one. He's drawn 5. He can run well. Okay, he was threshed by Macho at Beverly previously, but nothing went right that day. He's since 1/5 lengths at Beverly. Okay, wasn't the best speed performance that day, but it's still a good win. And they're two bigger prices that I can see running decent races.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was worth taking on with bigger prize than the year. I actually thought Martial Order looked a bit big, and now dropping back in trip. I definitely think this horse could run a big race around sort of the 25-33-1 mark. Ed, how did you look at it?
Yeah, I used to love this when it was called the Brian Yeardley Conditional. He was one of the longest sponsors in racing, but it was really good because this day didn't used to be on a Saturday, did it? I mean, Rodders will remember because it used to be on a midweek, and I think it was on the same night as a Derby, I think, if memory serves me right, with the Hillary Needler. But anyway, it's not anymore. It's on Beverly on their Saturday, and this two-year-old trophy is a really difficult renewal. I'm not sure I've got the right angle here, but I'm gonna go with Johnny. I thought that Wake Geordie looked really quick at Bath. I was there that day at Chester when he came third in the Lily Agnes. I think he's got plenty of gate speed, so I'm not too worried about stall 10. I think he'll get away, and hopefully Paul Mulrunham, the master that he is, will kind of steer him towards the middle, if not the inside rail, eventually. And I actually think he ran below form in the Lily Agnes. I think they thought he was going to win. I did speak to Eugene Murphy after the race, and or before the race actually, and he thought it was one of his better chances of the day. So that must have been disappointing. He did take a bit of a hole that day. So, yeah, at the price, what is he, 12, 14 to 1 with us, something like that? I just thought that was a fair price. There's lots of horses once run and have won that could be anything. But at least we know that this fella's got the form of the book, and he's done it a couple of times, and he might be improving. So, yeah, that's the one for me.
Okay, Wake Geordie then for both Ed Nicholson and Johnny Pearson. They're the ones to keep an eye on in that two-year-old trophy. Now let's go to the one race that is at Chester on the Rudy. The 330 is a handicap over 7 furlongs, class 2 event. And Roman Dragon's back once again. So impressive at Chester last time. Hugo Palmer, Oshie Murphy, nose pricey Hugo Palmer topping the betting at Chester. 4-1 favourite. Supido, Ian Williams, Billy Lotnan, he'll be there at Chester 6-1. You've got Palmer Boy around 13-2. Elements of Fire, 8-1. Double figures about the rest of the field here. Graham Robway, will Roman Dragon back up on that Chester win at the May meeting?
He might do. Loves the track, don't he? You know, Oshin looks like maybe he's gone there to ride him like he did last time. Very, very difficult race, though, because obviously up in the weights, £5 for his win last time. Got Supido up in the weights for the win at least last time. They're heading the market. A very tough one. I'm going to leave it alone, I think, Sam.
Okay. It is tough. It is really, and like I say, 4-1 the field in this race. Ed Nicholson, to you next on this then. It is tough. It's open, and it's probably one of the more open races there is on ITV, but we've got the one from Chester.
Yeah, it's all about Roman Dragon for me. Roman Dragon just comes alive when he sees the Roman walls of Chester, and it's been, I think, 21 races there, 8 wins, 4 seconds, 2/3. And last time, it was unbelievable day, Sam. I was there and I was watching the race on one side and all the owners are on the other side and they're 2 seconds behind with their screen. So I could see that he was going to win his eighth race, is it, the track, which extends his record. No horse since 1540 has won more races at Chester than Roman Dragon. And we all knew he was going to win, but just watching the owners' faces as he was coming into the final furlong, they didn't know, but we could see that he'd already won. And, you know, he's such a horse for Chester and well trained by Hugo Palmer. He'd been running in Bahrain earlier on in the year. And that was his kind of day. I think he might struggle with the draw at stall 7, but he has got Oshie Murphy, who is such a good jockey. I know there are so many good jockeys riding at the moment, but Oshie's, yeah, he's just different class to me. Him and Ryan are just different class. And, I've got to go for Roman Dragon, but he is a short price. He will obviously be, you know, there or thereabouts if he gets the rub of the green along the track, and it's extra place with us at Unibet. But you wouldn't think he'd be out the first four, would you? Really? Right. So definitely worth having a look at that offer.
Yeah, extra places in this race. I was close to napping this horse, to be honest. You mentioned, you know, jockeys are good, Ryan Moore and Oshie Murphy. Just round Chester, Ryan Moore and Oshie Murphy are different gravy. They really are. They ride the course so well. Johnny, you're going to close us out for the ITV Racing. Who are you going to be with?
Yeah, the good news is I'm going to give you the winner, and that is Palmer Bay. Drawn in stall 5. The horse has run once at Chester over the 7 furlongs they faced today, and he won that race last summer. He's got 100% record over the course and distance. Can't say that about many. Yes, he's up in the handicap since then, but he's run well at Deauville in December behind a horse called No Lunch. Had a nice spin at Wolverhampton. It disappointed a bit at Haydock, but again, that was in a higher class race. Look, you're talking about Roman Dragon. Never won. He's had, what, 7, 8, 9 runs over 7 furlongs? None of his wins have come over that trip, and a couple of those have been at Chester, and that would really put me off backing him as the price as he is. I really couldn't be having that myself. Roman Dragon is not going to win. Palmer Bay is going
to
win.
Yeah, love that confidence from Johnny Pearson then to close out the ITV racing on this week's postcards. So let's get the best bets and also talk about a certain horse who's drawn out in a Paris car park after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Right. Welcome back to the final part of this week's racing postcard. Sam Hart, Johnny Pearson, Graham Rodway and Ed Nicholson. Now talking about the French Derby happening on Sunday. I wanted to bring this in, gents, because potentially, if some are in agreement, Aidan O'Brien's best three-year-old colt is running in Constitution River. I'm in agreement with that. I think it's better than the ones that will be running in the Betfred Derby next week. Graham Rodway, we were actually there last year and we kind of analysed the race in probably more depth than we usually would because we were there. And we know about the draw at Chantilly and how bad it can be. And Constitution River has been whacked out in stall 15. And we know how far that is. He'll be in the forest out in Chantilly. He has got the class, though, to go and win this race. It might not be the strongest French Derby there's ever been, but he is a classy animal, no doubt.
Definitely is. And last season, of course, Ryan Moore won it on Camille Bissaro from stall 1. So it's a totally different task that he's got this year, coming from right out wide at Chantilly. But nevertheless, I do think this horse is the real deal, Sam. I think this is a really top class horse. Mm. I think this has got the potential to be the best horse that Aidan O'Brien has ever trained. I'm not going to row back on that. I really do think that this is a top class animal. When he won at Chester, his time furlong by furlong was better than Jan Brueghel. And he ran the final 2 furlongs more than 2.25 lengths quicker than Jan Brueghel. And Jan Brueghel is a Group 1 winning horse who beat Calandergat last year in the race at Epsom. And Constitution River, purely on that performance, must be top class. Now, whether he is a superstar, we're going to find out. But he is definitely a Group 1 winner in waiting. I've got no doubt about how good he is. I think he would have won the Derby if they'd run him there, for sure. So it's fascinating to see whether he can overcome this big negative wide draw. It is a big negative. I've just run out the stats. You know, it's horses on the inside, stalls 1 and 2, have beaten 62% of their rivals. Horses drawn the widest stalls are beating only 48% of their rivals. And there's a huge difference. So it's a massive negative for Constitution River. But I really do think that he is the real deal and I can't wait to see him, Sam.
Yeah, I really can't. I mean, whether he's the best horse Aidan's ever trained, we'll just have to wait and see. He was so impressive, Ed, at Chester. There's no doubt about it. Yes, he went off 9-1 or whatever it was, and he was entitled to go and do better. But the way he did it was something else. Are you in agreement that his performance was better than Benvenuto Cellini's at Chester?
Yeah, I think the only problem for the camp was, would he stay a mile and a half? Be interesting what Graham thinks, because his breeding doesn't suggest he would definitely be at his optimum over a mile and a half, and 1.2 is probably, I think, the distance we'll see him at his best at. Maybe later on in the season they'll certainly try a mile and a half Group 1 if he's up to that level, but so I think they've probably settled on the French Derby because it's a 1.5 miles, and let's face it, they got the favourite for the Derby anyway. So it's probably it was the sensible way to go, but drawing that draw, he's gonna find it difficult. I mean, I'm quite looking forward to watching the race, seeing how it unfolds. But if he does get beat, it could be a bet for the Eclipse. I mean, you know, literally, it'll be, they could overreact. But I think one person who has overreacted is Graham. Best Aidan O'Brien horse ever. He's got to be better than Hawkwing. He's got to be better than Galileo, Rick Van Winkle, Camelot. That's one of the boldest statements I've ever heard on the Racing Postcast.
Yeah, we'll take that. I mean, with Graham Robbie, he never brings out bold quotes. He never does. But yeah, no, look, you never know. Like, he could end up being that top class horse. We'll wait and see. But he did look absolutely exceptional. Now, I just want to quickly come to you, Johnny Pearson, whilst you shake your head. Is that you've got other horses in here. I mean, Hawk Mountain's the other one for Aidan O'Brien. He won the Prix de Guiche, which is often a fair trial for this race. But the one that's definitely going to be interesting, again, drawn quite high in double figures, is Darius's half brother, Darizan, who the performance this horse put up, I don't know if the people overreacted, but he looked like he was beat and then suddenly he just took off. It was something else. What do you make of the French runners in here? And what did you make of Darizan's performance on debut?
Right. Let's start with Constitution River. Best horse ever. He's got an awfully long way to get to that point for Aidan O'Brien's lot. I mean, think of how many good ones he's had over the years. I'm not sure he's Aidan O'Brien's best horse in this race, but That's a whole different point altogether.
It's gone from the sublime to the ridiculous in those two statements.
What's going on?
Graham's working for Coolmore. He's going to try and get some money with the breeding rights, but Johnny's not having any of it.
If I'm going through these horses, yes, he was very impressive. But I think Hawk Mountain's reappearance at Shanty has been massively overlooked here, and I think he's a pretty smart horse. And you look at that 2-year-old form. Okay, didn't win it. The Caron David, but only won 3 in a row. Okay, yeah, you can pick holes in the form, but it's very solid. He's got a better draw. I like Christophe Soumian running on French tracks, unsurprisingly. So that's another positive in my book. And neither of them might win. You've got Corumbi for Andre Farby, putting a pretty good performance last time, even though he didn't win the race. Stepping up 10 furlongs is actually probably going to suit him. He finished really strongly that day. He was the strongest finisher in the field. And he is second favourite, but rightly so. And then you've got Oxygen. You've got Gonstan Billy Locknane's coming over to run German horse. Another interesting one. He's got some decent form. But Darizan's half-brother, he's got an awful lot to prove. He's run once. He won well, but what's that worth? You know, he could come and show everyone up, but I'd be surprised if he's good enough to win on his second run.
Johnny. You know, I just said to you that I run out the percentage rivals beating the stats on the draw.
Mm.
What do you think is the worst draw?
You tell 4
me. 11.
That's fine.
Is it? Hey, we can just leave
that's where Hawk Mountain's drawn. Stall 11.
Yeah, I can see that. But I don't
41%,
mind
41% of rivals beaten on a three-stall rolling average. Stall 11. It's right in the middle of the sandwich. He's going to be caught between the ones on the inside, caught between the ones on the outside. It's a terrible draw, Hawk Mountain. No way does he beat Constitution River. I can't wait. We're going to have a little side bet on this.
I got 1-2 Hawk Mountain and not. I'll do a reverse forecast on those two. That is my bet for the race.
Lovely. I appreciate that. I can't wait, Ed. We'll just take note, because when these two next appear on a podcast together, we will bring this back up. It might not be till next month, but we'll still bring it back up. These two fighting out over Constitution River and Hawk Mountain. Really, now that you've kind of given me more excitement for the race on Sunday now, you two, is going to be really, it's top class. So we'll just wait and see. But yeah, let us know down in the comments of what you think is going to win the French Derby as well. We're keen to know. Right, it's been a long enough show. Let's get into the best bets then, gents, for this week. And obviously on the ITV cards. And I will come to you first, Johnny Pearson. Who's your best bet going to be?
Best bet is, I said he would win the race, and that is going to be Palmer Bay in the 3:30 at Chester.
Palmer Bay in the one race that's on ITV at Chester. That's the 3:30 there. Go to Graham Robway for your best bet, please.
Yeah, I'm going for a big price Naga for John and Freddie Gosden in that Leicester Piggott stakes. The 3:10 at Carlisle Naga.
3:10 at Carlisle, Naga could potentially be a future star filly. I'm going to go in the 2:00 at Carlisle. Johnny Pearson fancy this horse as well. I'm going to go with Marty Hopkirk, certainly on a winning mark. Ran in a good race at Windsor last time out against Red Orange. Ross Orion takes the ride. Should like the ground. I think this horse will run really well. And Ed Nixon, you are there to finish us off.
Yeah, the big fillies race at Beverley, the Hillary Needler, the 215, Carl Burke's team are in great form, and Cody Bear Light has put up two really good speed figures so far in her fledgling career. I think she'll go on and win this race and maybe go on and win better races later on in the season. But yeah, Cody Bear Light, based upon the speed figures.
Okay, there we go. There's our naps on screen. You can see them there. Do screenshot them. I'm confident we're going to have a good weekend with the naps this weekend. I really am. And I'm just really excited to see how this argument pans out when I leave this studio and go into the office with Graham Rodboy and Johnny Pearson after what's been said about that French derby. So we'll wait and see. Yeah, big thanks to the guys, Johnny, Graham and Ed. As always, do like, comment, share and subscribe. Big show next week. We will cover both the Oaks and the derby next week. Really excited to hear the opinions of our panel for that. And we'll also have Royal Ascot coming up. Remember, our top five bets video for that will come out before the event. We know how much you viewers love that show. So we'll have that and more, plenty more coming up later in the month. So yeah, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we'll see you again for another podcast. Thanks for watching.